already looking ahead to the offseason, thinking about the holes the Marlins have to fill. And they, those holes, it seems like there's getting more and more every week. No doubt about it. We're going to dig into a few of those and what maybe the Marlins could do about it on today's Locked On Marlins.
You are Locked On Marlins, your daily podcast on the Miami Marlins, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings from England and welcome to Locked On Marlins. It's the Wednesday edition of Locked On Marlins. Thanks for making Locked On Marlins your first listen of the day. This is your team every day. And guys, this episode is also brought to you by our good friends at Blue Nile. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And going on now is the Blue Nile Anniversary Sale. Save up to 40% on classic fine jewelry pieces, 25% on engagement ring settings. You can shop stress-free, find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. Ah, more about those guys later in the show, no doubt. And for those that have been listening this week, keeping track of me on Twitter, you'll realize there is no guest. And unfortunately, Kenny Takes Were Made couldn't make it today in the end. Kenny, if you're listening, I hope all is well, dealing with some family issues today. So he's going to be back on real soon. He says he's got a lot to get off his chest. It's been a good couple of months since Kenny was on Locked On. So I'm really looking forward to that. Like I said, Kenny, best wishes to you and your family. Hope everything is good. Guys, I didn't watch yesterday's game, so I don't have much to say about it, but I went and looked at the highlights, and the main takeaway from last night's game, this kind of sums it up really, is the main storyline was around a JJ Bleday home run ball and a negotiation that went on in the stands. So that kind of sums up where we're at in the season. Great to see Bleday hitting the bomb. I've been really impressed with Bleday's ABs in general. Like the eye feels nice. Bleday, it feels like there's a major leaguer there. So that's encouraging. Nice to see another home run. His second now for the Marlins. And yeah, like I said, the main storyline was the fact that the home run ball was caught. Bleday's family all there, tons of his family all there out there in right field, you know, waiting for the ball. Next thing is a negotiation takes place. A guy wants to, you know, he was trying to get some money back for this ball from Bleday's family. His girlfriend, Bleday's girlfriend, wanted to get the ball. Next thing is a negotiation happens and he ends up getting $200 for this ball and Bleday's girlfriend gets the ball. So I guess it all ended well. And I saw this storyline as well. This kind of makes me laugh. Like, at the end of the day, once you catch that ball in the stands, like, that's your property at that point. And you can do whatever you decide to do with that. And, hey, at the end of the day, if someone's willing to pay the price, you got to cash in on it. I know some people go, hey, you should just give it to them. But, you know, I think Craig Mish pointed out, you know, if you maybe caught Mike Trout's first ever home run ball, you just don't know, right? You just don't know what value these baseballs will have in the future. We don't know what Bleday will turn out to be. Nevertheless, it wasn't his first home run. It was his second. So maybe slightly less relevance overall. But, you know, it was the main storyline. That kind of sums up where the Marlins are. I kind of flicked onto the box score this morning, saw the fact that, you know, Brax gave up, you know, a couple of home runs. And the Marlins, you know, just the one run, the Bleday bomb, nothing else going on. You know, that's kind of where we're at right now. I was looking at the lineup too. You know, Brian De La Cruz hitting in the cleanup spot day after day after day. I mean, what's going on? Why is De La Cruz hitting in that cleanup spot? I mean, the Marlins, how many eight or nine spot hitters have they got in this lineup right now? Legitimately, you know, De La Cruz should be hitting in the eighth or ninth spot. So should Miggy Rowe, Stallings for sure. Peyton Burdick, you know, right now he's early in his career, but I think as you look up and down the lineup, you'd say Gerrit Cooper, Jesus Aguilar, for certain, they're kind of top to middle of the order guys, and they've proven that over the years. Beyond that, you pretty much got to look at the lineup and go, any one of these guys on a good team would be hitting eighth, ninth, or on the bench. That's kind of where it's at. So I guess maybe the legitimate hit is stop at number three, and De La Cruz just ends up in the fourth spot because everyone else is equal. I don't know. But the lineup, still not looking good right now. But nevertheless, there's some storylines in there. LeBlanc continues to hit. which is good to see. You know, it's been encouraging from LeBlanc, and I think, you know, third base is very interesting. So let's kind of segue into some of the off-season thoughts I've had. I kind of put it out there on Twitter today, thinking about, you know, what the moves the Marlins need to make here now. This team, I think in general, it just feels like it's lost its juice, lost its way, and got old quick in some ways. Like, as you kind of look around, you know, it feels like, you know, Miggy Rowe looks 33 all of a sudden. And, you know, Aguilar, he's still with the club. You know, he shouldn't be. He's not going to be. I've no idea what the Marlins are doing on that front. But, you know, Aggie's lost his funk a bit this year. You know, Coop's kind of, you know, steady Eddie, but only 1 year of control remaining on Coop. Wendell's in an absolute funk as well. So Wendell's just having a, you know, since, I guess, the All-Star break as well, he's been turgid, no jazz, obviously. We're waiting for Brian Anderson to come back and John Birdie, but, you know, we know what BA's like. You know, he's not going to bring any juice as such to this lineup. Like, he's not that kind of guy. He's more of a frustrated character. So just the whole makeup of this team just hasn't felt right all along. And we know that. I've mentioned that many, many times already. It's clear that they need to really shuffle the deck. I think that starts with Don Mattingly. You know, having been, I think, to workplace situations for me personally, you know, hearing the same voice day after day after day for, you know, let's say 3 to 5 years, that's the typical kind of life cycle, you know, of someone in a role. And Donnie's been there even longer than that. And so sometimes you just need a different voice in there. It isn't just the fact that it's Don and whatever. It just could be any kind of different voice that has a degree of, you know, baseball nous, etc. I'm not saying Donnie does. I truly believe that. But I think it's just time for a change. Sometimes you need to change it just for something fresh, to freshen it up, get some new ideas in there. I'm completely puzzled about the whole James Rowson situation. He came over with a glowing CV in many ways, and you're thinking, this is exactly what the Marlins needed. He speaks well, James Rowson. I spoke to him a few times in the Marlins Zoom room in the 2020 year. I just got good vibes from Rowson. I could buy into what he was saying. I'm just really surprised that he hasn't been able to make anything work in Miami. It's just really head-scratching that old hitters always go backwards. They do. And when they leave and go to other clubs with different cultures maybe and different approaches and different mentalities, I don't know, but guys start to hit and it's just kind of continuing to happen. So let's start at the top. You know, I've talked about it this week on other episodes. Don Mattingly, this is his final year for the Marlins, in my opinion, in the manager seat. I don't think James Rowson takes over. I just don't think you can promote James Rowson. I think this needs a full culture change, a full management change. Let's just go fresh. Mel Stottlemyre has to remain. He's the most valuable coach in the league, I would say. I mean, Mel Stottlemyre is absolutely sensational. So, you know, it starts there. The question we then ask is Kim Ang, is she on the hot seat right now? I personally don't believe she is. I truly, you know, she had her first year kind of getting into things. Now Jeter's gone, more ownership to Kim. Yes, there's been a few puzzling moments along the way, particularly in interviews and on the broadcast. There's been a few faux pas, I'm not going to lie. You can, you know, it is what it is. It started with the Avisel Garcia, you know, he's a certified 30 home run hitter year in, year out. Avisel's never hit 30 home runs in any year of his career. Maybe she was looking at it cumulatively across multiple years. I don't know, but nevertheless, she got that wrong. There's just this feeling of passiveness around the deadline when she was on the broadcast. Hey, we're sitting and waiting for teams to contact us. Okay, get that, but we need to be aggressive. We need to make the right moves for your organization, not sit there and wait for others to cherry pick their dudes that they want and send us dross. Then you've got this Mets interview that popped up the other day. And I get it. She's talking figuratively, like she wishes she could be in the box herself hitting the balls. But the way it sounded and came off was like, hey, I there's nothing I can do to change this. We're kind of losing and we're losing. And it came off bad. It came off like, you know, it's like, hey, Kim, you're the GM. You know, make some moves. You have the power. We're all here, Twitter GMs and podcasters. We don't have any power. We can't make anything work. We can't make any changes. You can. So, you know, like I said, I think it was taken out of context. I know what she was saying, but it sounded bad. And this is the point. Like, the PR situation for Kim now is not good. It isn't. A lot of people losing faith, you know, hey, it's a PR stunt, this and that. I've already said about it a few weeks back that, you know, listen, Mike Hill was the GM of the year, effectively, in 2020. The Marlins moved on, and they signed Kim to the role. She'd never done it before. She'd never been a GM. She'd been an assistant GM, et cetera, et cetera. So the Marlins, at that point, hey, they decided we're gonna take a punt on Kim. So, which is interesting. But I do think, just to go back to the question, is Kim on the hot seat? I don't think she is. I think she at least gets one more year. One more year. This year's been a failure, and we have to put it down. However, Avisel Garcia, that's Derek Jeter's man. It was. I believe it was, anyway. So he's been the biggest bust. Soler, that contract they gave out, shocking contract. I'm okay with options, but not player options. I'm okay with team options or mutuals. What are they doing giving Soler that guaranteed money there? It's, you know, I know it's got the opt-out, the player opt-out, but stupid contract. Stupid, stupid contract. The bullpen approach, they missed a beat there. They were snoozing again in the offseason. I remember it specifically. Hey, we're going to address some offensive pieces first. And they did. Let's be honest. They went out there. Stallings, bang. Wendell, bang. Soler, Garcia, bang, bang. Okay. Problem is, we knew we had a big weakness in the pen. We're going to sit there. We're going to come back to that later. We're going to come to the pen later. Problem was, by the time they come around to the pen, all the studs had gone. That's the problem there. So, you know, it's going to be a storyline for sure. The Kim Ang tenure, it will forever be a storyline. No doubt about that. But I think she remains safe and we'll get one more year. And I think this offseason will be absolutely ginormous for Kim. I really do. And like I mentioned on Twitter, there's so many decisions to make. So we're going to talk about those decisions and what they could look like right after the first ad of the day. And it's a brand new ad, guys. It's our guys over at Liver Health Formula by Pure Health Research. So Liver Health, most of us have overworked livers, no doubt about it. And I'm certainly in that camp. But now it's easy to rejuvenate your liver health and reignite your metabolism. Liver Health Formula contains 8 liver-boosting supernutrients like turmeric, beets, and artichoke extract, all of which work together to wake up a sluggish liver and turn it into a toxin flushing and fat burning machine. No more bloated belly, I need that. No more uncomfortable digestion, probably need that. No more feeling tired and low on energy all the time. I think the Marlins offense needs that. And best of all, Liver Health Formula makes it easier to maintain a healthy body weight long term. As a listener of our show, Locked On Marlins, you can try Liver Health Formula risk-free today and get a free bottle of Curb Fit with your order. Curb Fit, what is that? It's a safe and all-natural appetite suppressant, making it easy to say no to naughty foods, no to donuts, no to hot dogs. Curb Fit's got you covered. This makes it a perfect complement to Liver Health Formula. Go to GetLiverHelp, it's all one word, GetLiverHelp.com/MLB to learn more. And you can claim your free gift of Curb Fit with your order. So reminder, that is GetLiverHelp.com/MLB to get started now. Okay, guys, so where are we gonna go in this offseason? What needs to be done? Well, we've already got a couple of them tolling from last year. So here's what we still need. We still need a legit center fielder. And in reality, that is, we still need Brian Reynolds. The Marlins still just have to go and make a deal for Brian Reynolds. So you got to go and make a move with the Pirates for Reynolds. Make it happen. Start there. Secondly, middle infield. Miggy Rowe, for how good he is with the glove, the stick is not playing anymore. And Miggy Rowe has gone as far as he can as a starter right now. The Marlins, if they are serious and they have aspirations of being a true playoff contender, i.e., they want to finish above fourth in the NL East, then they have to find a way to get more production from the shortstop position. Offensively, they have to. No ifs, no buts. And, I mean, they've gone out there, they've traded for a prospect, you know, not a power prospect by any means. So the player isn't in the organization right now. He isn't. We're going to have to go outside of the organization and find this player. Free agency is an option. Trade, we'll wait and see which route they go. However, Pablo Lopez, it was talked about, would have been for a near-ready middle infield prospect from the Yankees. However, Pablo Lopez, 2 years of control, proven major league starting pitcher. Those are valuable. All of a sudden, the Marlins take a punt on a prospect who's never played at the major league level. It feels a bit Twilight Day. It feels like we're back to square one again, where, You know, we just don't know what we're going to get. No, there's no one is proven. No one is a sure thing as a prospect. And so it's a high risk. Is it a high reward strategy? I don't know. It's certainly high risk. But nevertheless, the Marlins, they need to consider how to get better at that position offensively. They have to. There's going to be a few names out there. There's already talk of Trey Turner. He's going to be potentially available, as won't be re-signed in LA. Trey Turner could be a perfect fit. The other thing to call out, I know we have Jazz Chisholm on the roster. Jazz Chisholm, he's missed long stretches and periods in both years. Both years, Jazz has missed a lot of time. So not only do we need one dude, we need a backup dude too that can pick up the slack when Jazz is hurt or is down or whatever, which in all likelihood, and from what history is telling us, will happen. It will. So you have to have a quality backup. Miggy Rowe, quality defensive backup. We also need someone with a stick. Maybe that's John Birdie, and John Birdie can play that role. However, there we go. Brian Reynolds, P1, center field, make it happen. Middle infield. The question is as well, do you have to go and get a shortstop? For example, if Carlos Correa opts out in Minnesota, do the Marlins pile in there and go, hey, let's make this happen. Come and play shortstop here. Jazz stay at second. However, you could also look at, you know, there was talk of maybe Gavin Lux in a deal with the Dodgers. You know, do you go and get a second baseman with a big stick and shift Jazz across to shortstop? You lose a bit of defensive value there, no doubt, because Miggy's elite. As I've said many times, we see it right now. Miggy is still elite. He's only owed $4.5 million. And as a backup, 2-3 war dude defensively, he's worth it. He's worth keeping around. However, the question is do they keep him around? And it goes back to Miggy Rowe, Donnie, they're all part of the same timeline here with the Marlins. In some ways, if you want to clear the decks with Donnie and Rowson, I think you should clear the decks with Miggy too. Start completely fresh with the clubhouse, revamp it. Let's see a new leader, a new El Capitan emerge, and let's see what this clubhouse can do. Do that. If they're going to do it, if they're going to do Don, then it would make sense to also shift Miggy out there. You lose the defensive, you know, you lose the player. And I've loved Miggy for what he's done in Miami. He's been a perfect rebuild guy. But at the age he is, the Marlins need to have aspirations in advance of what Miggy can deliver at this moment in his career. And if he holds too much power in the locker room, in the clubhouse, you know, going back to the Donnie thing, if you want a new voice, you have to get a new voice. You can't just kind of take half of the voice away. So if they go that way, they should look to move on from Miguel Rojas, in my opinion. That would be painful because a lot of affection for Miggy, no doubt. But I think the time has come. The time has come to make that consideration. So what else is in consideration? What else are the Marlins going to have to do? They're going to have to sort out first base. What I mean by that is Jesus Aguilar is going to be gone. He should be gone soon. I have no idea what the Marlins are doing. And the reason I have no idea what they're doing is because they come out from the deadline. Hey, Lewin Diaz is going to get a ton of ABs at first base now. We need to work it out. Is Lewin Diaz going to be our first baseman next year? Is he going to be on the roster next year? Everything the Marlins are doing says to me, they do not believe in Lewin Diaz. They don't. I think the Marlins have already mentally moved on from Lewin Diaz. I truly believe that. The way they've treated him this year, that situation where they made him drive 7 hours or whatever and no sleep and 5 cups of coffee to sit on the bench and not even play, that's what you do to bums. You do that to bums that you don't care about. And that really annoyed me, and it really annoyed Alex Carver in that episode too. So I believe the Marlins are fully out on Lewin Diaz already. So Aguilar's gone, Lewin's gone. Who else is knocking around at the upper levels of first base? No one. Maybe Gerard Encarnacion, but all indications there, they're out on Gerard Encarnacion as well. Out on him. Out on Lewin. So they're going to need to do something at first base. They're going to have to look at maybe a free agent, maybe a trade. I don't know, but they're going to have to do something there. What are they going to do at third base? Because there's a lot of decisions to make there. Brian Anderson, are they going to pay him his final year of ARB? $6 to $7 million, let's say. Or is it time to move on from BA? Again, another guy that's been around a long time. Is it time to just cut bait with BA, go fresh at third base? Someone out of, well, I don't know, actually, but you've got Joey Wendell final year, you've got Coop, you've got BA, all of these entering final years of ARB. BA can't stay on the field either. He struggled to stay on the field consistently. The shoulder problem is still flaring. Hey, dude, 6 to 7 million. Do the Marlins maybe non-tender him to make a trade in some sort of way? Kind of Alfaro situation, maybe. It would be, let's look back. BA was a big part of the rebuild. He was the big name, mainly because the Marlins at that point, they were, you know, they were like the Nats now, where the team is so bad. BA was lights in that roster, and the roster was poor. You look at what other teams are getting from third base, production-wise, I mean, just look across at Atlanta. Look at what they're doing there, Atlanta. It's just, you know, Austin Riley is just going off. I mean, okay, he's just signed a $200 million deal. Riley's in the MVP race, but this is it. A third base, you got to have the offensive production. I don't believe that is there now with Brian Anderson. Yes, again, you've got the defensive stuff, and this is the point. Sandy, the pitching staff, is great, and it relies on a nice defense behind them, no doubt. So it really helps. But offensively, this team is not scoring enough runs. There's not enough run production, and we can't continue to be pitching and defense only and just hope to win games 1-0. It ain't working. It is not working. And so the Marlins need to consider where they can get some offensive production. This is tough. These are tough situations. You need offensive production in center field. That's expensive. You need middle infield offensive production. That's expensive. Oh, you want a third base offensive production? That's expensive. Plus, you've got Jacob Berry coming down the pipe. Listen, Jacob Barrels, he is not a third baseman. There's not a chance in hell he plays third base at the major leagues. He may be up next year, but it won't be at third base. He'll need to be a DH. This then kind of takes you into the next phase. What else do the Marlins need to do? Well, they've got Horsia plus Garrett Cooper. All three of them are effectively DHs. They should be. Maybe, I mean, Avi's okay there in right field. And Soler's been okay again. But, you know, each of those three in an ideal world would be DHing. Then Jacob Berry should be DHing. Maybe Heyder and Encarnacion should be DHing. So the Marlins have got so many DHs here and only one spot to play them. So that's a problem again. So with that being said, Avi Garcia or Jorge Soler, one of those dudes, they have to be moved, in my opinion. We can't continue again down this path, and we've got so many outfielders brewing around here. We're having a look at Blade. We're having a look at Burdick, Jesus Sanchez, Brian De La Cruz. You know, something's got to give. Something has to give. And in some ways, the Marlins need to try and clear some money because, you know, there's some of these upgrades are going to need some investment. This is going to be at the core of it for the Marlins. Are they going to spend any more dough? Or are we going to continue down this path of a, you know, low-end team in terms of salary and effectively just mediocre performances? We'll wrap up in a sec, but it's our final ad of this episode, guys. And it's our good, good friends. I mentioned a Blue Nile. At BlueNile.com, you can celebrate all of life's special moments. You got custom engagement rings or timeless jewelry pieces, all at prices you won't find at a traditional jeweler. So whether you're ready to pop the question or celebrating a milestone moment, you can find jewelry as unique as her. Modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Wedding rings, engagement rings. Blue Nile has got simple online tools that let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft her perfect engagement ring. Each ring, baby, it's one of a kind. It's bespoke. If you're looking for fine jewelry, Blue Nile have also got you covered. And if you're having trouble choosing, they've also got experts on hand 24/7. They're available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift to every budget. So you can make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And right now, you've got the Blue Nile Anniversary Sale. You can save up to 40% on classic fine jewelry pieces and 25% on engagement rings settings. Plus, every order is insured ships free and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. You can shop stress-free and find your forever piece. You can go to BlueNile.com today. Okay, so what else is left in the wish list? Like I said, this was a long list. Long, long list of stuff. So we have to move one of those corner dudes. They will be hard to do. We've got to trade Jesus Sanchez and Lewin Diaz. Already said, the Marlins, they're out on Lewin Diaz. And I believe they're out on Jesus Sanchez. And also, guys, they're out of options. No minor league options will be remaining on either of them. Guys, if the Marlins have decided they are not major league players right now, then they have to trade them. And if they don't trade them, they'll be DFA'd, claimed, and they will go to other teams and probably do some damage. Because going back to right at the top, when hitters leave the Marlins organization, they somehow can flip the script and start hitting and delivering, which is painful, but we know that's going to happen. Lewin Diaz hates the teams right now that would happily take these guys, plug them in, into their rosters, they're on league minimum money, you know, former top 100 prospects, both of them, and, you know, you could plug them into the Royals, you could plug them into tons of teams, the Nats. I mean, the Nats have just lost Josh Bell. Lewin Diaz there at first base? Absolutely. They just lost Juan Soto. Jesus Sanchez there in right field? Absolutely. Plug him in. Watch him rake against the fish. And then be left scratching their heads going, hey, why didn't that happen at the Marlins? And that's the million-dollar question. One that we have struggled to answer. But the task at hand, Kim, is get some value back for these guys. Their value is low. They've struggled at the major league level. They have zero minor league options remaining going into next year. Your hands are tied. What can you do? They managed to get something back for Georgie Alfaro. So that set the standard. Kim couldn't get a deal done for Jesus Aguilar. I've no idea where Aguilar is still in this roster. And maybe, I'm playing, you know, this is a wild stretch here. But maybe Jesus Aguilar is still on the roster because Kim doesn't want to accept blame, accept responsibility for another misstep. Maybe that's unfair. But follow me now, see if you can follow my thinking. Jesus Aguilar should have been traded. He's not going to be extended. They've got a guy in Lewin Diaz they should be giving ABs to. Kim said they're going to give ABs to. Then Aguilar's just taking all the playing time and Lewin's sitting against righties and we're all scratching our heads going, what the hell's going on? If Kim would have DFA'd Aguilar straight after the deadline, that would have said, Kim Ang couldn't do a job properly, couldn't move Jesus Aguilar, or at least something low level. I don't know. Maybe a stretch, maybe. But the Marlins, coming back to it, they have to trade those guys. They have to get value back. They can't just DFA them and hope they pass through waivers and whatever. They'll be claimed, both of them. So get something back, make it happen. I believe the Marlins are out on both of those guys. Then we're back to the bullpen, guys. Where were we on the bullpen? We need leverage arms. Where were we in the offseason? We need leverage arms. We need a closer. Don't worry about that, Kim said. I'm just looking at the offense right now. We're going to fix the offense and then we'll sort the bullpen. Problem was, didn't fix the offense, didn't really fix the bullpen. Sold from the bullpen now, subtracted from it. Bass and Pop, gone. So your best reliever of the year, gone. How do you fill that hole? Well, wait and see. Bender's been back and performing nicely. I was fine with the trade. I thought it was a nice trade, actually. And the Marlins, for me, they've shown they can piece together bullpens apart from that ninth inning. I don't want to see any piecing, any guesswork, any of that. I want to see a proven guy in the ninth inning that we can rely on. When he strolls out of the bullpen, they start pumping the music out, get the lights going. Other teams think we've got to struggle here. Right now, most teams think we can pile into this dude and we can win this game. So I want to see no more of that. Get a shutdown closer. They're out there. They are out there. Josh Hader's just been traded. The Brewers traded Josh Hader when they're in the hunt. So these guys can be acquired. The Padres just acquired Juan Soto for a couple of prospects. There's moves to be made. There is. Where the Marlins go in this offseason is going to be extremely intriguing. You've got Sandy Alcantara, the best pitcher in the game right now. You've got a young pitching staff that others would dream on, but there's not enough around them. There isn't. Offensively, there isn't enough around them. The culture stinks. It's time to change it up. Has to. As fans, we're all at that point now where enough is enough. This offseason is ginormous for the Marlins and for the Marlins fan base. Because if the Marlins prove to us that they don't want to win, we're getting to the point where fans will start saying, well, I don't care about the Marlins. And that would be a fatal, fatal move and a fatal situation for Bruce Sherman and Kim Ang. With that being said, guys, that is 30 minutes done. Solo pod. I'm looking forward to getting into some of these themes later. Like I said, Unfortunately, Kenny, takes were made. Couldn't join us today. And Kenny, I hope you're going to be back on the show with me in the next couple of days. Ethan Badowski joins me tomorrow. I know Ethan's already shared with me that he's got tons to get off his chest, as has Kenny. As Marlins fans, and we're all Marlins fans, we're in here at the 10th of August, and we're talking about JJ Bleday's girlfriend buying a baseball. That is what this has come to. It's what it's come to. It's where we're at in the year. Still 2 months of the season to go. Nevertheless, Sandy Alcantara goes tonight against the Phils. Let's hope it stays dry. Let's hope Sandy does his thing. I really don't care if they win or lose. And to be honest with you, where they're at right now, more losses, first overall pick with this lottery. So, you know, it's interesting. I actually want to talk about that on another episode. Whether this, does it help tanking? Does it reduce it? Are more teams tanking because of it? We'll wait and see, but I'll put some thought to that. Nevertheless, guys, thank you for joining me, solo pod, Peter Pratt on Locked On Marlins on Wednesday, the 10th of August. I'm going to be back tomorrow, of course, because, guys, this is a daily pod. It's your team every day. And Ethan Badowski will be in the hot seat, and he will be, let's describe it as a therapy session. We'll look forward to that one, guys. Enjoy the game tonight. I'm back tomorrow.